Welcome to this week's Crowd Church service. We are a digital church on a quest to discover how Jesus helps us live a more meaningful life. We are a community, a space to explore the Christian faith, and a place where you can contribute and grow. Our service will last about an hour, and in a few seconds you'll meet our hosts for our service who will introduce today's talk. After the talk, we will have a time of worship and reflection, after which we head into Conversation Street, where we look at your stories and questions that you've posted in the comments. Now, we want to invite you to connect with us here at Crowd Church, and we've got a few ways in which you can do just that. Firstly, you can engage with Crowd from any device during our live stream, and if you're up for it, why not invite a few friends over and experience the service together? You see, church is all about connecting with God and connecting with others. And one of the easiest ways for you to do that is join one of our midweek groups where we meet online together to catch up and discover more about the amazingness of Christ. You can also subscribe to our fairly new podcast called What's the Story, where we deep dive into stories of faith and courage from everyday people. More information about all of these things can be found on our website at www.crowd.church, or you can reach out to us on social media at Crowd Church. If you are new to Crowd or new to the Christian faith and would like to know what your next steps to take are, well, why not head over to our website, crowd.church/next, for more details. And now, the moment you've been waiting for is here. Our online church service starts right now.
Well, welcome everyone to a blurry me.
Yeah, I'm in focus.
Yeah, it likes you, Matt. AI has favoured Matt.
What can I say?
Welcome this week to Crowd. It's great to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt, for joining me. Change the schedule.
Change the schedule. Yeah, it was supposed to be you and Ruth, but yes. I just put your hand up in front of your eyes like that. And no, in front of you. It's just in front of your face. No. Hand right out in front of you like that. Put your hand there. Yeah. And cover your eyes, and the camera should refocus on your eyes. And there you go. Yeah, no, it's still not doing it. Wow, okay. Yeah. Well, welcome everyone to Crowd Church. This is a very good illustration of one of us being in focus and one of us not being in focus. I need to think about why that's doing that while the talk's on. We'll have a little think about that. But welcome to church. Yeah, it's great to be here.
It is.
Yeah, you and me.
I know.
We don't normally do host together.
No. I get to press the buttons this time. I make the mistakes and Matt can just chat and cover it up.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? It's weird being in this seat.
I've got the power.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So if this is your first time with us, very warm welcome to you. There are normally two people, like me and Dan, hosting. We have the person who sits in this seat, just to let you know, they drive production. Yeah. They've got all the controls. And the person that sits in this seat is like... It's like the co-pilot.
Yes. Right? Yeah. I get to ask you the questions in theory.
Yeah. And so you are the main host. I'm the sort of the co-host, which is a beautiful thing. And so this is what I mean. I normally sit here where Dan sits. And so because it's only really the two of us that do all the tech.
Yes.
One of us has to be in that seat.
It's essential.
Yeah, it's quite nice that we're both together. So yeah, very warm welcome to you.
And we've got Dave Conn speaking to us today. Continuing our series on Dave. Becoming whole, and he's going to talk about fasting, which is going to be an interesting topic.
Yeah,
and something that's if you're not a Christian, or if you're not been around, I don't know, church life, it's quite an odd topic. In fact, it's an odd topic, but it's become trendy now. Yeah,
isn't it?
Super trendy, isn't it? Because it's like fasting.
Do you do intermittent? Do you do IF? That's what they say, isn't it? Do you do IF? Yeah, intermittent fast, 16 hours a day, 8 hours a day. I'm 16:8. And if you're really hardcore, I'm 24, man. Yeah, I'm like, do 20 hours fasting, 4 hours eating, you know. So we're not talking about intermittent fasting. No. And don't get me wrong, intermittent fasting is healthy.
Yeah.
The science is there. But it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I hope I'm not stealing David's book, but it's interesting with this whole fasting thing because, like, Christians and other faiths have been doing this for millennia.
Yes.
And it's like the last 5 years, scientists have gone,
this is actually really good for you. Like, oh, no.
Yeah, and everyone's going, surprised. Oh, fasting's brilliant. And all the Christians like going, yeah. Okay, we knew that. I'm fairly sure we knew that.
Yeah.
But now, as soon as you tie it with health, people want to do it, right? Because there's a benefit in it for them. If you don't have that, people are like, no, I'm not going to eat food. Yeah. What's wrong with you? Are you mad? Go without food? Why?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're going to get into all of that. See.
Yes. Yeah, so let's see if
we have... See if we're just going to rob Dave's talk.
Let the main host speak.
Yeah, okay. Bam, Sam.
So let's get it started, shall we? And if you've got any questions, just type them in as the comments.
We'd love to hear from you in the comments.
Absolutely.
Whether you're on YouTube, whether you're on Facebook. Mm. Yeah, whack them
in. We get them all here in big writing, so Matt can see it without his glasses on.
I said to Dan earlier with the way he set it up, I said, do you mind if I just change this a little bit so I can at least see the screen? Because he's got his glasses on, I haven't got mine on, so no fair play. Cool. All right, you're in charge. Yeah. I was going to say that's from VT, but you know.
Let's go.
We are continuing our series entitled Unlocking Wholeness. Today's reading is taken from Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Today, we briefly want to take a few moments to look at the topic of fasting. We generally don't talk a lot about the spiritual discipline of fasting, and I'm certainly not an expert on this topic. According to the media, fasting has become quite trendy in certain parts of society. I read that you can go to a health spa for a weekend and they will feed you apple and celery cocktails, herbal teas, laxatives, bees pollen, blended soups, and water mixed with squeezed lemons. I believe this is under the branding of detox and weight loss. I'm not sure that's something for me. Yet many Christians don't know exactly what fasting is, or are not clear on how or why they should fast. However, considering that even Jesus fasted, and you can read that in Matthew 4 verse 2, and that he assumed that his followers would also fast, it is a biblical practice that we should not ignore. A definition of fasting is abstaining from food for a period of time. And there are many different types of fasting. Usually, fasting means we don't eat food, but we can still drink water. Sometimes it means abstaining from food and water. And you can read about that in the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 16. Then at the other end of the spectrum, it could mean giving up only certain types of food or drink, as we read in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 12, it tells us that Daniel abstained from the food he would have preferred, such as meat and wine and other delicacies, choosing to have only vegetables and water. People also sometimes use the term fast in reference to abstaining from other things besides food. Some people fast social media. The Bible even mentions that husbands and wives temporarily abstain from sex in order to focus on prayer. Now the scripture for that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 5. The idea is very similar in that we are voluntarily giving up something good in order to focus on something greater. That's right, our relationship with God. However, the word fasting technically refers to abstaining from food. At this point, it's very important for me to stress that if you have a medical condition or if you are on medication, we must be wise and don't do anything unsafe or foolish. Check it out with your healthcare professionals. In those situations, you might consider doing something like a Daniel fast, where you abstain from only certain types of food. You might be asking, why should we fast? That's a really good question. The main point of fasting is to help us or to cause us to focus our attention on God. It provides that focus in a few ways. The time and the effort normally spent cooking and eating can be spent in prayer, contemplation and reading scripture. Also, if we wanted to, we could give the money we would spend on food, or the food itself can be donated to care for others. When we fast, we get hungry. I find the hunger serves as a reminder to me why I'm fasting, helps keep me focused. Every time we feel hunger when fasting, use that as a prompt to pray. I feel compelled to say at this point also that fasting without making time to pray is just another weight loss program. Fasting for a specific purpose, such as seeking God's guidance when big decisions are being made, praying about important issues, this reminds us of the seriousness of the situation. Without a specific purpose, the focus of the fast becomes the fast itself. We are just hungry for the sake of being hungry. But when we fast for a purpose, we are demonstrating the significance of that which we are fasting for. Fasting serves as an acknowledgement that we want to seek God even more than we want to eat. Fasting can help us focus on the giver instead of his gifts. Food is a gift from God, but how often do we fully appreciate God's goodness in how he provides everything we need? Going without food or abstaining from any gift of God makes us more appreciative of both the gift and the giver. Those are all good reasons for fasting. I should probably take a moment to highlight some wrong motives for fasting, or some misunderstandings about why Christians should fast. Fasting cannot make us right with God. It's not a religious observance required to get God on our side. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 tells us there's no action on our part that can earn God's grace. It's only through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that we are saved. Fasting does not obligate God to answer our prayers. God doesn't owe us anything, and there's no way to put God in our debt. Fasting does not make God more likely to hear our prayer or do what we ask. Yet we read in 1 John 5 verse 14 and 15 that he always hears our prayers and he always acts according to his will. Fasting should not be done to impress others. It should not be motivated by trying to show others how righteous or self-righteous or religious we are. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 tells us we should seek God through fasting, not the approval of man. In the Bible, fasting is usually prompted by some significant event or decision that needs to be made. People fasted to pray for specific things. We read in Ezra chapter 8 verse 21 and 23. They fasted when mourning a loss in 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 12. They fasted to repent from a sin in 1 Samuel 7 6. They fasted to dedicate their lives to God in Acts 14 23. They do it to seek God's guidance, we read in Judges 20, verses 26 to 28. They also fasted for deliverance from their enemies. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1 to 4. Of course, we have the freedom to fast at any time. And some people choose to practice fasting on a regular basis. Yet let's make sure that we are fasting for the right reason and not based on one of the misunderstandings or wrong motivations that I've mentioned. Let me also say that although Jesus seems to assume that his followers would sometimes fast, the Bible stops short of explicitly commanding Christians to fast, and it certainly does not say that we must follow a specific fasting schedule. So don't fast out of a sense of obligation or rule keeping. Instead, let's fast out of freedom and a love. The love that we read about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbours as yourself. Focus on the goodness and the mercy of God, like we read in Psalm 23, verse 6. As we draw to a close, could I leave 2 thoughts with you that seem to capture fasting for me? The first is by Dallas Willard, and it says this: fasting confirms our utter dependence upon God by finding Him in a source of substance beyond food. The second thought is by Bill Bright, which says, fasting reduces the power of self so that the Holy Spirit can do a more intense work in us. My prayer is, as we consider this topic of fasting, it draws us closer to the presence of God Himself, and we learn of our utter dependence on Him. God bless you.
And we're back.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave, for that.
I love Dave. Dave's talks are always like short.
Yes, short and sweet and
just like point after point after point after point. You're like, hang on. Yeah. There's only so many notes I can make.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sorry, you're in control.
I am. He just keeps talking.
Sorry, everybody. I'm not used to seeing these.
So, Matt.
Yeah.
What things jumped out to you in the talk? What was the sort of your main bullet points? Your main
fasting's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a really Peter's just put in the comments. Oh, sorry, missed the talk. We'll have to catch up later. Well, we're just about to do Conversation Street now, Peter. So you'll be fine. Yeah, we're going to get into it. So the talk is about fasting and how. And again, remember, the plan here is we're talking about fasting in the context of biblical wholeness.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're talking about how to be biblical whole. We're talking about spiritual health, what it means to be a spiritually healthy person, and that spiritual health is that, you know, fasting is connected to that health, right? You're still a bit blurred. I'm just going to come back a little bit and see if I can
get on close.
The same plane. There we go.
Now we're both out of focus.
Hands up. Have your eyes.
Oh.
There you go. There we go. See if that works. Sorry about the blurry camera, ladies and gentlemen. Is that, obviously, the lens is not wanting to...
Yeah, it's just not wanting to, is it?
No. Just lean forward and see if it brings you... Keep going. Yeah.
Get my eyes. No.
It's a weird one. Why is that doing that? I really don't. And sorry about that, ladies. Yeah. We'll just crack
on. Thought today was going to be great with our new funky mic stands, and then the camera that's been there for weeks years. And weeks is just...
It's just not happy. No. Not happy about life. So we're talking about fasting in regard to wholeness, right? So we wanted to talk about this as a spiritual discipline towards spiritual health. So that's the context in which we're talking about this. And the context in which Dave is talking about this is actually someone who is living a whole life is someone that has in place I don't want to use the word protocol, but they are people who fast.
Yeah, it's part of something they...
It's part of their lifestyle.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? It's part of their lifestyle. And Dave, I know he would never say this, but I know Dave fasts. I know a bunch of people who fast. And so it's interesting how this, I think the title of this talk, how this ancient principle brings back sort of, you know, life-giving principles or something like that. I should probably look at what the title of the talk is. But it's really interesting how fasting helps us do that.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I think if you were to sit down and go, right, let's talk about wholeness, ladies and gentlemen, what's going to make you whole? Fasting.
It's not something that just jumps to mind,
fasting
is it?
Makes my belly empty. It does not make me full. It does not make me whole. And so it's, and I think this is the thing that Dave was getting across, that Jesus was a man who fasted. He expected his followers to fast.
Yeah.
There is something quite sacred and something quite divine about this concept, this idea, this principle of fasting. Now, Nicholas put in the comments there, oh, Dan's out of focus. She can't fast food because of meds, right? And that I get that, you know, and you have to be sensible.
Yeah, I think, absolutely.
With this whole thing, I don't think if you fast, you become whole. In fact, there's a story in the Bible, isn't there, about how Jesus is like, well, these guys, Sadducees. That's right. Yeah, the Sadducees. Yeah. Say it. But they would fast and they would pray and they would make big public sort of spectacles of what they were doing to come across and appear as holy. And Jesus is like, "Nah, mate, you've had your reward."
Yeah. Because Dave mentioned that, didn't he? It's not about. It's not some religious thing. You do it so many times a year. Yeah. You get closer to God. Something you can tick off.
Yeah.
When we die, it's okay. I did those.
Yeah.
Did those things. That's.
That's not
no, that's not how it works. No. And like Nicholas said, if you can't fast food, it's not that's not a problem, because it's about the concentrating on God. It's about the giving up something. If it's something, if it's probably a really good one for a lot of people, would be social media or your phone. Yeah, every time you go to pick up your phone, if you're fasting, you go, "Oh, that's a good time to remember why
now
I'm
on his prayer."
And it does bring that back to you, doesn't it?
Yeah. It is a great tool for that.
Yeah.
And I think there are many reasons in Scripture why it talks about fasting and why fasting is a tool in this whole biblical wholeness thing. There's no doubt about it, right? And we can get into some of those if you like. But I think there's a whole, sounding very knowledgeable, Matt Edmondson, you're really best. Yes, I am, Matt. So it's one of those where, you know, you kind of, your primary focus with fasting, I think, is when you're hungry, when you're going without something, it's... Have you ever been so hungry it's painful?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're kind of like, I'm just really in pain here. My stomach is... It's normally on a Sunday afternoon for me. I need food. But to actively go without, it's not because you're wanting to cause yourself discomfort or pain, but it's to remind yourself of your dependence on God.
Yeah, it's not the first thing I wrote down, and I think it's the first quote Dave said, was, you know, Jesus fasted and he was hungry. It wasn't some magical thing that even when Jesus fasts, he's hungry. I think God definitely helps you with a fast, and he can help you with that hunger.
Yeah.
And he definitely... If he's told you to do a longer fast, and if he's told you to do it, not that you're just wanting to get closer to God or something by doing it. If he's told you to do a longer fast, then he definitely helps with that.
Yeah,
that strength. But Jesus was hungry, and I think it's that hunger that helps us to concentrate and
focus. It's a really important point, isn't it?
Yeah,
because Jesus
it's
also
not magical. It's no, not, it's you don't do it to. So God can take these desires away from you. Hunger is a real thing. We're just directing that hunger to
You're to reminding him. Yourself who you're hungering after.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said in that set when he fasted for 40 days. I mean, you talk about a fast, 40 days. Breaking the tech again. No, I'm just moving the mic then, sorry. so when Jesus was talking about this, He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And I think when you tie that principle in with scripture, with fasting, you're like, yeah, I don't, as people, we don't live just on bread alone or on food alone.
Yeah.
We have got to be people of God, people of God's word. We've got to live on that. We've got to be people of prayer, which Dave talked about next week, actually. Sneak preview. Anna's going to be talking about the spirit, the scripture side of things as well. So we know that's coming up. But yeah, shall not live by bread alone. So it increases your hunger and your dependency on God, which is an important thing, I think.
Yeah. It said, he said, we're giving up something good. So food is good for us to get something greater.
Yes. It's a great quote.
I like that.
It?
Yeah.
It is a great quote.
Yeah. It's not just weight loss. In fact, if you look at the medical things, it's not, a lot of the time, it's not even weight loss, because your body goes into, if you stop eating for a few days, your body stops doing stuff and conserves that.
Yeah.
So it's not actually even the best way to lose weight, strangely.
Is it not?
No. I think if you do it for, you know, a longer time it is, but
yeah.
A few days, it's not.
To be fair, I don't know how well qualified we are to talk about weight loss.
Yes, true.
Just calorie deficit.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. There you go. Secret answered. But yeah, no, I think that's a primary thing, isn't it? Is actually we are putting ourselves in a place where we remember who God is and who we are in relation to him, and that everything comes from him.
Mm.
And that includes the bread we eat, and that includes a spiritual nourishment, you know, that whole wholeness thing, which we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Fasting is a great way to sort of remind yourself of that. Now, if you're like Nicola and you can't fast food, then like you say, social media, great thing to fast. I mean, talk about benefits to your mental health being quite extraordinary. Definitely fast, you know, social media. I think that's quite crucial, really.
Yeah.
Is this still blurry? Sorry, folks.
It's, yeah. Just your hand's perfect.
Yeah, my hand's crystal clear.
I don't know if it thinks these mics are our faces. It's blurred them into our beards.
Do you think that's what it is?
We go over the top of them.
Yeah, sorry, folks. I'm going to have to try and figure out why this camera's messing me around a little bit. It's just very peculiar. Let's just lean forward and see what happens. So didn't the guy who played Thor on the documentary do a documentary on fasting on Disney? Yeah. Now, this is interesting because Chris Hemsworth, I don't know if you came across that, the Chris Hemsworth documentary that he did. I wish someone will put in the comments with the name of that documentary, but he basically did a series of feats, didn't he? Like he swam in cold water. He did crazy heights thing to overcome his fear of heights.
Oh, okay.
And fasting thing, and he did all kinds of things. But yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
But,
Bam Sam says, I want to fast TV, but it is hard. And that is the reason for it.
Yeah.
With fasting, and I'm not speaking as an expert at all, but just build up. It may be that, I don't know, you get up and you watch breakfast TV, and one day you just decide, well, I'm not going to watch the breakfast TV.
I'm involved. I'm just going to go check on the camera, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just going to do something else in that time. And with fasting food as well, it may be that it is just to give up a meal. And in that meal, that's the time that you've focused. Someone put about a bridegroom fast, which is some people in the church we go to often used to do that, which is fasting from one evening to the next evening. So you still have meals on both those days. But again, it's a discipline.
It is. And they call it the bridegroom fast because, oh, there we go. I think we're back in focus now.
Hey, yeah.
They call it the bridegroom fast because it is definitely a focus. The reason they call it the bridegroom fast is because Jesus refers to himself as the bridegroom who's coming back again. And so it's that kind of fast. Yeah, Peter says that's a better picture. Yeah. Awesome. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that was much better. Look at that. Should've HD that and everything.
It's like I can see myself. So it's much better when I'm blurred, probably. but the bridegroom fast is all about when I'm fasting, I'm thinking about and praying for the return of Christ, right? Mm. That's the thing that I'm longing for. The screen improvement comes off it. Yeah, thanks for that. I think, you know, there are a lot of different fasts. Isaiah 58, have you ever read this? When it comes to fasting, this is a wonderful piece of scripture. Let me read this to you. I've got to put my glasses on. Let me pull up the Bible verse here. So Isaiah 58 says, this is God talking. He said, is this the kind of fast that I have chosen? Let me back up. Where are we? So why have we fasted, they say, in verse 3, and you have not seen it? We have humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed. So people talking to God. Yet on that day of your fasting, you do as you please. Right? So this is God talking back. It's really interesting. And you exploit all your workers.
Hey.
Okay. Yeah. So if you employ people, just bear in mind you can't fast and exploit your workers at the same time. In other words, don't be hypocritical. Right?
Okay.
So if you're fasting and you're still doing stupid stuff over here, fast, you're just going hungry. Just
yeah.
want to point
yeah.
that out. Yeah. I think this is what God's saying.
Mm.
So you do as you please. You exploit your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. So, and again, this is really interesting because if you're fasting, what's the one thing you are? Hungry.
Yeah.
What happens when you're hungry? You get hangry. What happens when you get hangry? You start arguing. And God's like, I'm not interested. So this is really fascinating to me. Is this the kind of fast that I have chosen? This is what God says. Only a day for people to humble themselves. Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed or lying in sackcloth and ashes? We won't get into this, but in verse 6, it says, is this not the kind of fasting that I have chosen? Right? So this is what God says. To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke or to break it free, to set the oppressed free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will appear quickly and your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear reward. You will call, the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he'll go, I'm here. Right, so it's really interesting. Hey, Sarah's in the comments. Hope you've managed to get some sleep. I was talking to Sarah last week, bless her, struggling with the old sleep thing with a newborn. Bless her. Fasting, it's interesting how God's like, is this not the fast that I've chosen to break, to deal with injustice, to break oppression, so you can give your food that you were going to eat to the hungry.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, isn't it? And Dave mentioned that in his talk a little bit, because that's one thing that when I fast, and I'm talking to me more than anybody here, when I fast, rarely do I go, right, I'm going to go grab that meal.
Mm, that was going to have, yeah.
And I'm going to go feed the hungry with it, right? Which is just, it's fascinating when you look at this, and bless you, Sarah, zero sleep.
Well, in the talk I did last week on prayer, I've been reading about a guy called Rhys Howells, which I mentioned, called The Intercessor. And his whole calling from God was prayer. Mm. And a lot of that was fasting. But he actually only had, I can't remember now, but it was like he used to have 4 meals a day because he was a miner. So he'd be working down the pit and then preaching in the evening, every evening. And God said to him, well, no, your money is my money. And this is, I want you just to go on 2 meals a day. And he was never any weaker.
Mm.
God gave him the strength.
Mm.
But it was for that. It was that prayer. And so that money could go to someone else, which is, interesting, isn't it?
It is. And I think this is the challenge, because fasting is not just about me going without something, although that's part of it. But it's like taking what I would have had and helping somebody else with that, right? So, for example, the food one is easy, right? If I fast food, I can give that meal toward the hungry, right? If I fast social media, it's not like I can give that to somebody else, but I can give that time.
Yeah.
Right. And so I can go, right, God, well, I spend typically whatever. I don't know what you spend on social media, but let's say it's half an hour. And for all of you going, I don't spend that long on social media, just put a little timer on your phone. You'll be surprised. But it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to fast social media. And then I'm going to give that 30 minutes to somebody who needs that time. Mm. Right. And especially if that's time towards somebody who is bound and oppressed in some way, right? And so what you're doing when you're fasting is you're not only focusing on God to look at your source and your supply, you're listening to God to go, God, where do you want me to give what I would normally be doing in this time,
yeah,
or with this resource? Where do you want me to give that?
Yeah.
Now, if as Christians, quite rightly, you know, as Christians, we go, I'm going to fast food, I'm going to fast social media to pray. I do question, if I'm being totally honest, how many of us do actually pray during that time, you know, and what that prayer is actually like. Because fasting is enough. Do you know what I mean? It's like, God, I've gone without the this whatever, and so surely that's enough, and I'll do a little bit of prayer, but it's, you know, maybe a little bit half-hearted. I don't mean to get in anyone's case. I'm talking to me more than anybody. But actually taking fasting that one stage further and going, God, where can I give? Where can I sow what I have abstained from? I think that is the kind of fast we see in Isaiah. And this is where, you, again, just to bring it back to this whole topic of wholeness, you know, being whole people, when you understand that you are a whole person, you have no issue taking what you've been given and giving it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Whether that's time, talent, treasure, whatever it is, you know. And so, yeah, this is for me where I think it's just such a critical conversation. Mm. Do you know what I mean? That actually fasting, I think, is more than just going without food, but it is in itself an act of generosity. It's an act of stewardship. It's an act of serving. Yeah. It's an act of giving.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I've got a question. Do you think it is... So, yeah, I agree with you.
You don't have to, by the way. There's no way in the comments whether you agree. Matt, you're talking your face.
But can we then, we have to be careful that we don't then turn that fasting, which is meant to be between you and God, to something that is a bit of a, hey, look at me.
Yes.
I'm not talking about this, but look what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it just takes that focus that was meant to be for God has gone pear-shaped. It's gone off askew, hasn't it? Because we've tried to make something out of it when it was meant to be just between us. Like you talked about the Sadducees.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, look at me, I'm fasting. Mm. I know people have done long fasts and they felt that it should just be between them and God. So they still continued with their, you know, with their jobs and stuff, knowing that it had to be, you know, between them and God and not their workers going, oh, what's, you know, going on with you? What, you know, it's what God's doing in you.
I think it very much is. And there's that wonderful, again, going back to when Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, you talk about a heck of a fast. And if you're going to do that kind of fast, you've really got to make sure God's in it, I think.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's not something I just do off a whim.
No.
But the scripture talks about this. When he came out, when he returned from the wilderness, when he returned from the desert, he returned in the power of God. And there was something in that fast where he is in spiritual warfare, he encounters the devil. There's the big temptations of Christ. There's victory in those. And he returns then in the power of the Spirit, doesn't he? And he does all of this happens after he gets baptized. But it's like, it's really interesting how there needed to be this period of fasting for Christ to deal with the temptations in the desert. And then to... It's not like fasting made him powerful. I want to be careful what I say, but I think somehow that fasting put him in a place where he could hear God and be more dependent on God when the testing came. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that in itself is more powerful.
Yeah.
And this is what we're talking about, you know, when you fast, when you go without and you start to recognize who your provider is, I think more. in that situation. So what's Andy put here? Don't some guys fast by eating only bland foods?
I know. I mean, like the Daniel fast is a just a vegetables fast. So, and that's not just being vegan, because vegan, you can have some, you know, fancy foods.
Very, very tasty vegan food, don't they?
So it was more about just, yeah, just having those, the vegetables. Again, something that gives you the sustenance you need, but might not be the exciting thing that you're after.
Yeah.
And my mate did Daniel fast, and you do have to make sure that your family perhaps just take a bit of time away, because it can affect your digestive system.
Open the windows is what you're saying. Yeah. It can affect your innards a little bit. It's really funny. Do bear that in mind. But yes, I think some guys fast by only eating bland foods. But again, you've got to go, what is it that I'm doing here, and why am I doing it? Where's God leading me in this fast? Again, something Dave touched on, what's the purpose of the fast?
Yeah.
Having a really clear purpose for your fast, otherwise you're just going hungry. And God, what is it you're trying to say to me here? Is there something I need to press into you on, like Jesus in the desert? Is there something that I need to give, like in Isaiah 58? What is it you're wanting from me here with this fast? And is it, what kind of fast is it? You know, we're just in a season of Lent, aren't we? And so quite popular is people will give things up for Lent. I've given up broccoli, mushrooms. I mean, I'm doing super well so far. Fasting all.
How many Lents have you done that for, Matt?
I'm on my 50th consecutive Lent. it's one of those where, I like the practice of Lent, and I think that's a good spiritual discipline. Because again, it's like I'm giving things up to remember who my provider is, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's good practice in that. And I think, I mean, I jest when I say I give up mushrooms. I really don't like mushrooms. Mushrooms are evil. They're just, I shouldn't say that. They're not evil because they're obviously a gift from God. But in my mind, they are rank, let me tell you. And so for me to say I'm fasting mushrooms, it's not really cost me a whole
grain. No.
So, yeah, I think, you know, God, what is it, God, you're wanting here in this fast? And I think it's such a tool that actually when we get it right, when we nail fasting, and it's not like I'm trying to twist God's arm, I'm not trying to get him to answer my prayer. It's like, well, my prayer's not been answered. Maybe if I fast, I'll earn favor enough for God to answer my prayer. That's not it at all. I don't think that's a Christian gospel in any way, stretch or forth. Fasting puts me in a position where I hear from God better, is what tends to happen.
Yeah.
And it puts me in a position where I end up being more generous. We're going to get into this whole generosity thing soon. Trust me, that's going to blow your mind a little bit. But it puts me in a position to hear God. It puts me in a position to be generous. And in those positions, God can break through in me. And he can, there might be things that I've been going through, that I've been struggling with, that actually for a period of fasting, I come out of it, you know, like I've won something. Does that make sense? Like, let's say you're dealing with something that is a continual repetitious habit, right? This is a good example. So people come to me all the time. I'm struggling with this ... and it's a repetitious habit, something that goes on, and we've tried to, you know, I've tried to stop doing it and it doesn't seem to work, or I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that. And what do you think I should do? One of the first things, you know, medical positioning allowing us to do is to say, right, let's set aside a period of fasting, because I need you to be closer to God, and I need you to hear him better, and I need you to understand what he's saying to you better. And by putting yourself in a position where you voluntarily give up stuff which you like, reminds you constantly to stay close to God and you can hear him. And I think when you do that, and if it's food, you might do it for a few days, you might do it for a week, you know, if you're doing it longer, again, like I say, can't say it enough, seek medical attention.
Yeah.
You know, listen to the Holy Spirit. If it's something like TV, someone mentioned earlier on about giving up TV, fasting TV, whatever it is, and you're setting that side and time aside for God, my experience is when I've done that in the past, like Jesus, I feel like I've come out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Like something has been broken. Mm. Like I have managed to get through that trial, that temptation. And it's not because I'm using fasting to twist God's arm. It's more that God's using fasting for me to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Does that
yeah.
make sense?
Yeah, yeah, it does. Yeah.
Hopefully I've explained that well enough.
I've been thinking, so in this series, part of it will be way, I think it might be June, we're talking about fruits of spirit. And one of them is...
not that far away.
Oh, is it not?
No, no, no.
One of them is self-control, and that's what I've been asked to talk on. So I keep thinking about that.
Well, maybe that one is, because that's like right at the end of the list. It's like God said, you want the fruits of the spirit are these left. And we're all like, yes. Yeah. The last one, self-control. Like, oh.
I know. And I keep thinking, that's a strange fruit of the spirit. What are we going to talk on? And fasting, what we're talking about. Fasting
is
part of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you are struggling or with any type of fasting, then it's worth, he's given us that spirit, that that fruit of self-control.
Yeah, yeah.
Presumably to help us with that.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I think it's probably the fruit of the spirit that's lacking the most in Christian life, especially in the West.
Yeah.
We have no self-control whatsoever. No. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is bringing that back. And so I think it's probably one of the best talks in the series, because it's like, you get, it's just one of those, which is, it's going to blow. We're not talking about willpower. You know, it's not that kind of thing. This is actually the Holy Spirit helping you to be self-controlled. And I was reading when Dave was talking, I read this scripture here, which said, 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says this, verse 26, I do not run aimlessly. So he's talking about running a race and running a race in such a way as to win it. Sorry, I shouldn't peer over my glasses down the lens. Very rude. So it's like, I'm running this race and I want to win it. I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. And it's interesting when I read that, because that ties into that whole Isaiah 58 thing. It's like, well, you've done this, but you've disqualified it because you're in strife. You know, you're doing all these things that you shouldn't be doing whilst you're fasting. And Paul's like, no, I have to have that level of discipline, which is what I think self-control comes down to.
Yeah.
And he's disciplining his body. Fasting is one of the tools where we can go, I need to get straight. I need to get some discipline going in my life. Tie that in a few months' time with a talk on the fruit of the spirits where you're talking about self-control. You got some powerful stuff going on.
Yeah.
You talk about radical change that can happen to you in your life, God breaking in and doing some crazy stuff just with understanding the fruit of the spirit of self-control and understanding fasting. It's exciting stuff. It sounds weird.
It does, doesn't it?
It's
like you say, it's one of those things you get to the end of the list and it's just like, oh yeah,
self-control.
So that's pretty good. Yep. But not as a gift. Not something that you can actually obtain.
Yeah. I love the fact you don't, this is what it says in the comments. I love the fact that you don't need to be super spiritual to fast. You can, that's exactly true. That's so true. It's not like you need to have a qualification to do this, right?
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. Actually, this is open to everybody. And I think, I guess my encouragement with Dave's talk, with this whole series, is to see fasting as something which is so awesome and so cool and so, it's such a privilege. And actually rightly discerning what happens when we fast can break the chains of oppression, not just for others, but for ourselves, right? We can go into the wilderness like Jesus. We can face the temptations. We can come out in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can give to the poor. We can get closer to God. We can hear what's going on. And we can see some radical change in our lives. And that's the thing here for me with fasting. That's not how we see it. But that would be my, this is how the Bible talks about it and rightly discerning it. It's such a powerful thing when it comes to biblical holiness. I hope you're feeling excited.
Yeah.
I hope you get the excitement behind fasting. And it's just like, it's not like, I'm going to go and fast all next week, man, because this was such a great, sermon from Dave and a great conversation through. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, you've got to, let God guide you.
Yeah, exactly. And Peter's put there. Yeah, definitely let God guide you. It's not something just to go, okay, I'm going to do this for a week now, I'm going to do 3 days or even 24 hours. It's a big thing. Let God just,
build up
to it. But don't, and it's not a challenge either. And I think when it gets to a challenge, say if you feel you should be, I don't know, fasting for 3 days or something, and you get to 2 days and then you're like, yes, 24 hours to go. I think perhaps your motivation has changed, and it might be better to go to God, I'm going to stop now.
Yeah.
Because my motivation isn't what it should be for that fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's important. I love that comment there, Peter. I think it's something we need to build up to. You can't imagine fasting for days. No, me either, to be fair. And I'm not telling you to go out and fast for days. But what I guess, one thing you can do from a practical point of view is you can say, right, there is something in my life that I want God to deal with, because we're talking about wholeness. So if wholeness is here and I feel like I'm here, what's the obstacle? Yeah. What's something in the way? It could be addiction. It could be feeling of, you know, low self-esteem. It could be whatever, you know, whatever state of life you're in, there could be a whole bunch of things. It could be sickness. Whatever is causing you not to feel that sense of wholeness. Because I think God wants us whole. I said this in the first talk. It's not something that we create. It's something we receive, right? And so what's stopping us receiving that? Whatever that issue is, I think if you this week go before God and say, God, totally honestly, right? Mixing with what you said about prayer last week, just being totally blankly honest before God and going, right, this is what I want to deal with. I'm going to pray about this, and I feel like fasting would be a good thing here. What do you want me to fast? How long do you want me to fast? Is there anything in this fast that I need to do? Like, do I need to give time, money, energy, food, etc.? And give me some guidance on this. And then say, right, I want to do this for the next 40 days. Now, I'm not saying you'd go without food for the next 40 days, right? But you're going to pray about this for the next 40 days. And it may be God says to you, I want you to fast one day a week. Or I want you to fast one meal a day for the next 40 days. Or I want you to fast TV for the next 40 days. Or whatever it is, right? And just do, God, what is it you want me to do? And see what the Holy Spirit says to you. And I am fairly sure we'll have some amazing stories. In fact, yeah, Peter's put that in the comments. Perhaps next week we can report on fasting if we have tried it and what we've got from it. We would love to hear your stories on this.
Yeah.
We genuinely would love to hear your stories on it. Because I think it's such a powerful thing, and it just breaks that yoke. It breaks that in us. And I think, go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it, folks.
And do you know what? It may be get to the end of the week. Say God said to fast at lunchtime or something. And you get to the end of the week and you think, all I got from that was hungry. But I don't think you do. I think it's an act of giving as well, isn't it? It's like, I fell from God. I shouldn't eat this lunch. All that happened, I was hungry. But I did it because I felt I should do it, and God asked me to. And so I'm just being obedient.
Yeah, score points.
And sometimes
that's
being
awesome.
Obedient. Yeah.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
And so just going and doing that.
Yeah.
But again, supercharge it. If God tells you to fast lunch, take your lunch and give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Just give it to someone in work, you know, give it to someone who's whatever, you know, someone who's homeless. Yeah. I think
I've done that before in the past. I've gone, I was meant to fast today and I've got my lunch with me. I'll better eat it. Perhaps I should have
just go and
given it away. Yeah. Yeah.
I think, you know, it's just being a bit creative with it and just letting God do his thing and not getting so tied up with a formula, right? Andy's put there, it's in a contrast in a world of instant gratification.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You've hit the nail right on the head there, bro. Because I think that's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like we live in a world which says, I deserve everything that I get and I want it all. And I want it all now and I want it all instantly and I should have it. And God's going, you could probably do that. But if you want to be whole, just learn to fast. And you're like, God, I don't get your logic. I think I do actually a little bit with this. But it's kind of like, I just love the simplicity of the gospel.
Yeah.
I love the simplicity of God. It's like, it's not about what you've got, guys. Just being entirely honest with you.
I love, there's a quote going around from Jim Carrey. Have you heard it? That he says, I wish everyone could have anything they... To have fame, have everything they ever needed, to realize it's
not the answer.
It's not the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So true.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, so true. I'm going to fast rubbish TV. That, you see, I, That's a good thing. I don't know whether rubbish TV is one of the strongholds in your life. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those kind of things. But yeah, totally. Whatever God's saying, that would be my challenge to us all this week. What is God saying to you? Yeah. And if you're listening on catch up and you're listening to this in a week's time, don't think, oh, I've got away with it.
Yeah.
Just be genuine before God and just go, God, what can we do here? Mm. And just enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
Because like I say, there's some amazing stuff in this. So, hopefully you've got something out of this tonight, because I'm excited by the topic of fasting. And I think just talking about it, just thinking about it, I'm more excited now about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas before I'm always like fasting.
Yeah.
But you just have these little pep talks, you know, and you just read the scriptures about it and find out what it's really saying. You're like, okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. Come on.
Well, I think we better draw this to a close.
Going to draw.
Draw it to close. I don't know why I said that. Never say that in real life.
I'm going to draw it to a close. Sure. Do you want to tell folks what's happening next
week? Yeah. So next week, Anna is going to talk about the Word of God, which is definitely the answer to getting us whole.
Oh, yeah.
We couldn't have done any of the other talks without hearing from God. Obviously, we can hear sometimes God's direct word, or he directs us in thoughts, but man, the Word of God's written there. It's black and white, isn't it, for us?
Yeah, it is. Totally.
So looking forward to that.
Yeah, and Anna's just a legend.
Yeah,
she is. Just a great speaker. And so, I mean, you're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Who's hosting? Are you hosting? Am I hosting?
I'm not hosting.
Oh, it's going to be me then, isn't it? Let's have a look who's hosting. Peter says he's got to go. Great to be with you, Peter. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolute legend. Oh, it's me and Jan Birch.
Awesome.
So, you know, that's going to be funny. Jan's an absolute legend. But yeah, so join us next week as we talk about scripture. Because you've not got the stream deck. If you just push that little globe thing on the stream deck, there you go.
What's this? Hey, look at that. That's how you can contact us. Contacted us at Crowd Church.
Did you just say contacted us?
Contact us.
Oh, contact us. Sorry, it just sounded like contacted us.
And that's how you can contact us. www.crowd.church. And there's WhatsApp as well. So if you go on the website, you can find the WhatsApp and just message us. If you got anything that's you'd like someone to pray for you, you got a situation that's going on, please just contact us. We'd love to pray.
We would. And just being totally transparent, we've had a bunch of people contact us this week about prayer, with prayer requests, praying for people's marriages, praying for jobs, praying for financial provision, all kinds of stuff. So if you've got anything you'd like us to pray about, do let us know. We would love to pray for you. Any midweek stuff? Yes, we have. If you would like to join us midweek for our Zoom community calls, it'd be great to see you in there. We have community meetings. You can find all the information on the website, www.crowd.church. It is all there. And the one thing that I meant to say earlier that I completely forgot, you didn't remind me, Online Alpha.
Oh, yes.
Online Alpha. So we've had a few folks reach out to us and ask if we can do an Online Alpha course because they want to do it. And so we're like, sure, why not? So if you or anybody you know would like to join us for an Online Alpha, we're going to be starting one real, real soon. So it's going to be in the evenings, UK evening time. We've not really set which day it's going to be yet. But if you would like to be involved in that, we would love to hear from you. Just reach out to us on the website, www.crowd.church, or www.crowd.church. Or you can find us on Instagram or Facebook at Crowd Church. Just message us that you'd be interested in doing the Online Alpha, and we will be in touch. Really excited about that starting probably in the next week or so. So keep your eyes peeled for that, and we'll let you know more.
And I thought I'd just say, so a few weeks ago, I was with Ruth, and I was saying, we were talking about, I can't remember what we were talking about, God. and prayer requests, and I was saying, I've got stuff going on in my life, and God's really provided because it was I'm self-employed, it's my own business, so when someone does employ me, I I don't get paid, so I'm starting a massive job tomorrow, and that's a great answer to prayer.
Absolutely So prayer works. You can press the globe thing on the thing, it will take the thing off the screen. There you go.
Hey, there we go. Brilliant.
Enjoyed that.
Yeah,
it's just weird sitting in this chair, I'm not going to lie. I don't know how well I did sitting in this chair. I'm really rubbish at being a guest.
Well, we'll see you all next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have a great Thank you very week. Much. See you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Crowd Church. Now, if you are watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button as well as that little tiny bell notification to get notified the next time we are live. And of course, if you are listening to the podcast, the live stream podcast, make sure you also hit the follow button. Now, by smashing the like button on YouTube or writing a review on your podcast platform, it helps us reach more people with the message that Jesus really does help us live a more meaningful and purposeful life. So if you haven't done so already, be sure to check out our website, www.crowd.church, where you can learn more about us as a church, more about the Christian faith, and also how to connect into our church community. It has been awesome to connect with you, and you are awesome. It's just a burden you have to bear, and hopefully we'll see you next time. That's it from us. God bless you. Bye for now.